Alright, is there anybody that can't hear us?
Yeah, I'm hoping to pick up the ambient noise on the computer with the headphones.
Alright, here, it's apparently 7 o'clock, we're ready to go?
Yeah, we're ready to roll.
Okay. Either my flash is slow or this man's dead. It is Groucho Marx's birthday. Groucho Marx, it's also Bud Abbott's birthday. And Sting. It's his birthday. Oh, anyway.
So much alike.
Yeah. Okay. Can you all see me? Can you see it? Do I need the microphone? I apologize for sitting. It's not a lack of respect. It's just that my right knee is going to give out on me at any moment. And that's the only reason. We thought we'd try something a little different tonight. We asked the questions, and you would answer them. I think we should. I'm Nick Francesco.
And I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Wright.
No Rob Lynn.
Okay, where is Rob? Did Rob show up tonight? Rob?
He's afraid he'd have to work.
Rob Lynn.
Yeah, we made him hold the microphone and run back and forth among us. So you're actually recording this?
Yeah.
Set up?
No.
We are trained professionals.
We are trained, right. No, it's recording off the ambient noise. I couldn't patch into the PA system.
Then why do I have this in my hand?
So you get more ambient
noise. Thank you.
Because there's a speaker right above the computer.
Oh, is there? All right. Basically, it's the same old thing. Well, you folks ask the questions, and we'll answer them. But you will have to tell us what your name is, because we don't have Rob to write it down for us. So does anybody... we would prefer... if we limit the questions to the computing arena, but we don't insist upon it. In the back, the man with the egg stain on his top.
That's Bruce from Henrietta.
He's the first question again.
Always the first of the month. You can count on Bruce faithfully calling folks. If you're not a regular listener, we don't know why you wouldn't be. But Bruce always calls in to inform folks of what's going on for...
We do Windows and the task of many other user groups like Spire, Club Mac, and it's here to sign. And I just want to let everyone know that if you're interested in joining a computer user group, we have one at East over at Brian's Craft now, the second Thursday of the month. We think, I believe that if you watch up for computer design, we'll be there. Second Tuesday rather, thank you. That's the president, Rob Hatton, down there.
I happen to be the president of the Apple Users Group in town. And I have some flyers if you're interested.
And it was, we saw back that it meets the second Tuesday of the month.
Right, Apple Cider meets the second Wednesday of the month at the East High. Club Mac meets the second Tuesday of the month at the Greece Town Hall on off of Latta, or off of Long Pond Road, north of Latta. East High is at Main and Culver, so a lot of people differentiate us by the Greece meeting or the downtown meeting. So whichever one you like to go to.
And a users group is a great, great way to learn more about your computer in a relaxed and intimate atmosphere. Certainly not as structured a learning as you would get from Monroe Community College, but learning nonetheless.
Now, how many are members of a users group?
Yeah, see... are you Bruce? Excellent.
No, here's the better question.
How many people
use PCs? How many are Mac users? I don't know.
Yeah. The that actually leads me to an announcement I would like to make tonight for the first time ever, before I even announce it on the show. I've written a great new application. No, Ken, the code's not ready yet. It's a calendar program for the user groups. And what it will allow us to do, well, us, the actually whoever gets designated by the user group. So email me, and I'll get people set up for that. They can put in who's going to be at what meeting when for what. And it's actually based on city, since we do hit a couple of cities now, and I announce it on the air, we'll be able to see Rochester, Buffalo, or Syracuse, or Sydney, Australia. And see the meetings for your city or whatever. Yes.
Yeah, I was just about to mention. Yes. Is Jack here tonight? He's usually at everything.
Usually everywhere.
Jack Greenkey has been coordinating this list for years now, jackslist.com, a list of virtually every users group in the greater Rochester area, from the Linux groups and the Mac groups, the PC groups, internet groups, pretty much anything you can imagine and a few things you couldn't.
Well, they can get that whole list right off of our website.
Yep.
Go to soundbites.org, and you have to do what we call scroll. Go down to the bottom of the screen. There is usually more information. Down on the lower right-hand side, we have Jack's list there.
A link to it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's one of the announcements. And the other announcement is there's a new poll. Not a new poll. The poll is the same, but there's a new opinion page up. What did you think of the Soundbites Roadshow? So your homework this evening.
Homework?
Oh, use the H word right out in public. Oh, my goodness.
Too young.
I already have too much homework.
No, see, this will be easy. Get your homework on the computer. Make your dad do it for you. It's to go and enter a new opinion of what you thought of the roadshow. How magnificent we were, of course, that's obligatory. But then, in addition, what you'd like to see us add or remove or change or, you know, whatever. So we can have some idea of how to make this even more perfect.
For the next road show.
Right, for the next one.
We should thank those folks, though, that did take the time to register and come out here tonight. Really appreciate it. This is great. I mean, we kind of blew Wham away in the number of folks that they were figuring, maybe a few. I mean, we're already jamming more chairs in here, and it looks like the next time we're going to have to go sideways or...
And we personally would like to thank all of you, because if it wasn't for you, Soundbites would be a lot of like the sound of crickets. It is you folks who make the show what it is, and I personally, and I know Dave and Steve, would also like to thank each and every one of you individually. Not that you paid for it or anything, but if you don't line up at the end alphabetically, we'll thank you. So thank you all very much.
So why don't we do what we came here to do, and that's answer questions. Who's got our first question?
Anybody here from WAN?
Yes, WAN people are here.
Is Jeff here?
He was here. So you came late. We introduced him. People applauded. You missed it. You need to get here sooner.
If he pops back in, we can.
Yeah.
Who else has a question? Back there. We'll come back to you next. Go ahead. Stand up and just.
Dave Dole from Wrighton. I'd like to know if it's feasible to upgrade from 1.2 USB to 2.0. Is it worth it, and is it an easy upgrade?
Depends.
Max?
Our favorite answer.
Well, what OS are you running?
Windows 98 secondary.
Then yes, you could go to USB 2. How much memory is in the machine? How much?
128.
Yeah, no, you can do it. USB 2, matter of fact, is surpassing right now benchmark test of FireWire. So it is definitely a way to go. But then you also have to get the applications if they're going to take advantage of the USB 2.
And the new devices. There isn't actually an upgrade available. What you'd have to do is buy a new card with USB 2 on it and put it in the machine.
The chip in there will recognize it and take advantage.
What, it will still take the 1.2, the newer cards?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it's
backwards compatible. You had a question?
Inside from Warsaw.
Stand up.
When you go to internet options and scroll down for security, you come to cookies and then it'll say enable or prompt or disable. Well, I downloaded the program and that seems to be gone. There's no way to get to the cookies anymore so that I can have the prompt when it's on.
The question is, in Internet Explorer, when you set the options, one of the choices is what you do with cookies. Accept them, reject them, prompt for them. And he downloaded a program, which he has carefully not named, And now that option seems to be gone from his system. And what's the program?
I didn't download the program. My wife did. And when I was looking for it,
sure,
it wasn't
pass the buck again. Here we go.
My wife did it.
You notice he's not here with any women, so.
I'm not sure what it was. It was probably, I don't remember. She downloaded a couple games from there. One of them was Arrogance, I believe.
She may not even have known she was downloading it. If we back up a step, a cookie is a piece of information that a web server puts on your computer. As originally designed, they were innocuous, that it would remember what message you were reading on a message base, or they'd remember your name so you didn't have to type it in again. What's been happening is the junk mailers and spammers and more recently naughty websites will add cookies to your system and try to take over what other sites are letting happen. They'll read the other cookies that sites have put onto your list, so it's become a privacy issue. One of the original intentions was in directed advertising. So all the banner ads that everyone ignores, if you click on an ad for fishing equipment, you go to another website, you'll probably get an ad for fishing equipment. So it can direct the advertising. But because it's become, what's a nice word for?
because
the bad people have taken over the way cookies are handled. Illegitimized. It's become an issue. So what a lot of people do is turn off accepting cookies. So the system asks you if you want to accept a cookie or not. The problem is, and what's apparently happened, is there's a new class of program that turns off that option. So you can't not get cookies. And it was probably included in some other program that had a legitimate purpose.
Okay. Yeah, but now that whole section on the security, it's gone. I don't even have the option anymore of eliminating. So is there a program I can provide for that, or is it just rebooting?
There are a couple of things. First, I would suggest you download AdAware from LavaSoftUSA.com. That has a second program that goes along with it called Ref Update. Ref Update updates the reference file like you do for your antivirus software. Same here. What AdAware does is goes through your system and looks for all of these programs that steal cookies, spyware, all that stuff, and deletes them. So you want to run that first. In fact, everybody should be running that regularly. LavaSoftUSA.com.
What version of Internet Explorer are you running?
6.0.
Yes. If that doesn't fix it, then you need to reinstall it.
Like, if you're lucky, you can reinstall just IE.
You might be able to do even just a service pack up.
What operating system are you running?
It's a gateway computer. Basic operating system's Windows 95, but it says it's loaded with Windows 98.
Okay.
When you go to programs, you know, it'll say the initial thing is Windows 95, but it's downloaded, or it was sent to Windows 98.
Okay.
That sounds like it's registry.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm thinking is it might have changed the registry. There's got to be a registry entry that tells you, you know, where to get the cookies, but I couldn't tell you off the top of my head where to find it.
You may need to reload Windows completely.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. If you load Windows over itself.
That's a good point. There's a program called RegFix.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. It's on.
There's a link on
and SFC, website. If you're really running 98, the system file checker, although that usually just checks files, not the registry. The RegFix might do it for you. If it isn't that, then it's Blackmagic 10. Sorry. Ref update.
Hold on. Wait. No. Gentleman back there, and then we'll come to you. Gentleman in the back. Yeah. No, you.
So you said gentleman, you messed them all up. You had no idea where you were.
I was going to say, Kelvin does throw me off a bit. Yeah, I'm Chris from Williamson. I got a question about redirects. Now, I came across the website by accident that was selling redirect services. In other words, if you have a website, they'll sell you a service, so if someone wants to go somewhere, they end up at your place.
Yep.
Now, I find this out. Let's say if I wanted to go to Sears.com, I could end up at, let's say, Montgomery Ward or somewhere else.
Yep.
Is there anything that we can do about this stuff?
Yes, there is. If you run a browser that isn't Internet Explorer, often you will find that it has an option to ignore redirects. Mozilla has a, something, I forget exactly what they call it, but basically it says, don't let something redirect you, and I think Opera does too, doesn't it? Okay. Wake up.
And that's another case of a good thing that's been turned bad. Redirects were common for websites that change their address, file downloads that have moved location, so it automatically redirects you to the new website. So they've taken another legitimate use and
illegitimized.
Yeah.
Thank you. You were next.
Computer Link Magazine.
No, I'm just pointing out.
Dave Rivers from Rochester. Computer Link Magazine that you write for recommended zone alarm.
Yeah.
Like security.
Sure.
Is it still a good one?
It's still an excellent one. The question was zone alarm. Is it still good? And the answer is no, it's still excellent. Zone Alarm is a firewall-type program for your system. What's nice about it is that it does things in two directions. It not only prevents stuff from getting to you, but if you do download a program and install it and it wants to shoot stuff out, it'll stop that too until you say yay or nay. So, and most firewalls don't. They figure if it's going out, it's not a problem, and it'll just send it out. Zone Alarm will ask, which means a pain in the neck the first time you run any program, it stops. It says, "Well, wait a minute, you're trying to run your mail program. You sure you want to do this?"
Yes, remember that.
And some of them are tricky because you might launch Outlook Express. The name of the application is MSIMN, Microsoft Internet Mail and News. So you may not know what MSIMN is and say no. Don't let it get to the internet, and that's something you can't get mail.
But so that's why I'm still a big advocate of, like anything else, I always prefer to have a piece of hardware doing it. And that's why you've heard us recommend routers. Routers now have built-in firewall in them. So in other words, I don't have to worry about updating this software and everything else. By default, it blocks everything that's trying to get in, and now I'm not taking the resources that were being used to run this firewall are now freed up. Which, with Windows, you know, it takes anything and everything you throw at it. So now you're just having a piece of hardware externally do it. And the other advantage is if you want to put more computers on them. Most of the hubs now are coming with standard 4 ports. So you can hook up 4 PCs, and all 4 of you can be on the internet safely that you know somebody isn't going to get in and hack it.
Another question, it was a two-part question. When I bought my computer, I had McAfee software, which is like antivirus software.
Mm-hmm.
Is that maybe not necessary now that I have zone alarm going on?
Okay, well, the other part of the question, and Dave's already laughing, if you have something like zone alarm, do you still need an antivirus software? All together now?
Yes!
No! He can bring his PC into me and I'll clear it. That's right. No, as long as you bring it to Dave when it doesn't run anymore.
The other half of that issue is that both McAfee and Norton sell combination packages that have antivirus and a firewall. If you try to run two firewalls, things can get confused. Generally will get confused. If you're running Windows XP, it has a built-in firewall, so you could potentially be running three firewalls and never get to the internet.
If you are running Windows XP, you should turn off its firewall, by the way, and use a real one. Yes, I'm sorry, a different one.
Doug from Penfield. I'm running XP for the SP1. First of all, if I might make a comment on that.
I don't think so. We have children.
After 4 or 5 trials, I finally decided to go back and read the instructions.
Zach sure wore that other shirt.
It still works. Reading the instructions still works. After I've read the instructions and followed them, it worked perfectly.
Yeah, if you skip step 37, it won't work.
But pertaining to that, with the XP SP1, included in that is the Internet Explorer SP1. And after that was installed, the auto dialer on Netscape will not work anymore.
There's the guy that downloaded we heard about. Messed up the machine.
Internet Explorer auto dials just dandy. Yeah, I wonder why.
Yep. Have you tried reinstalling Netscape?
No, I've tried.
The problem is that the service pack assumes that anything that It has certain things it does, like AutoDock. It assumes that anything that took over, you accidentally put in. You didn't really mean to put in something that you know that took over from Microsoft. So they get rid of it for you because they're nice guys. They're nice people at Microsoft. So if you want it back again, then your best bet is to reinstall it. It should work.
And I've heard right now, just so you folks know, as far as XP, they do have a service pack out there. Right now, it's a 50-50 crapshoot, whether it's going to work or not. And that's what we've been running, about 50-50. And it working correctly on some machines and incorrectly on others. So, like the gentleman was saying, RTFM, the instructions on there, that when it asks you to do a backup of the files before installing the service pack, say yes. Take the time to read it and say yes to that. I know it might take up a little disk space, but if it crashes your machine, you won't be visiting me or one of these other sponsors to now straighten out your machine. So I have seen it happen that way.
Let's get someone on this side of the room. All right, we saw one in the front and then in the back.
Okay, start here.
When I got my computer, I couldn't play. One of my favorite games could only be played once.
Which one?
One of them was SpongeBob. SpongeBob catches jellyfish
on Nick.com. The question is, when he got his new computer, there were certain games at places like Nick.com that he could only play once, and then you had to reboot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I had to get out of the internet and go to
the game. Right. And did you fix it?
Not exactly.
You played once, and you have to restart again.
Here's the problem. And I'm very familiar with the games on Nick.com.
I almost won.
I missed getting Nick.com by one day.
Oh.
Man, would I have been rich. Okay.
I wouldn't even use it.
Oh, I mean,
no one can spell Nickelodeon, so they couldn't use that.
Yeah, right. Okay. However, I get the most interesting questions at AskNick.com. I have a 10-year-old who still likes the games at Nick.com, so I'm very familiar with them. And part of the problem is many of them are running a language called Java. And it depends on what version of Internet Explorer, you're using Internet Explorer?
Six.
Yeah. And how much memory do you have?
I'm not actually sure.
How much?
I think it's 128.
128. See, unfortunately, 128 is kind of a minimum for version 6. Yeah, I know. The price of poker keeps going up. I'm sorry, the price of goldfish keeps going up. The problem is that as you play the game more and more, it uses up more and more memory. And Microsoft, unfortunately, is not very good about giving back memory. So at some point, when you try to run it a second time, there's not enough free memory in the Java space to run it again. So if you leave and come back, then that space gets all cleaned up and you can play again for a while. More memory will help that, and not using Internet Explorer will help that.
Even though 98 doesn't handle more than 128?
It'll get 256. It's when you get up above 256 that you start really having
a little choking
problems. It actually slows down. But 256 is good. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you. All right. See, you were nervous before? I told you nothing to worry about. We're the ones who have to give the answers. All you have to do is ask the questions.
I haven't been able to get my email for 2 months because my...
God, you're patient. Holy cow! Remind me to borrow money from you.
My MADI Explorer has shut down unexpectedly, and I've gone through the fix program a bunch of times, and I can't get it to work.
What email program are you running?
Email, I'm running Windows Messaging for Windows 95.
Okay, Outlook Express?
No. The old messaging program, Windows 95.
Before there was an Outlook.
Look,
that's right. Holy cow. Well, the short answer...
There is none.
It's an very patient guy who can give him a long answer.
He waits 2 months.
The easiest thing to do really is to be running a different mail program. The good news is you got 2 months of mail waiting for you. It's not like it went anywhere. But the reality is that I think your best bet at this point is to load a different mail program. Now, you can use, and there's 100 free ones. There's Internet Explorer, Internet, the companion piece to Internet Explorer is Outlook Express. We recommend that you do not run that. Eudora at eudora.com is free. Pegasus at pmail.com, M-A-I-L, pmail.com. There's another one called the Bat, but it's got one of those URLs that are like this long, so forget about it. Opera at opera.com. That's a browser and email program. It's all kinds of things together.
And Netscape.
Netscape and Mozilla, both.
But for your version of Windows 95, I would not advise. You can still find it around as Netscape 4.76.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
But
about the highest you want to go for Windows 95.
If you're happy with everything else you're running, then just an email program like Eudora or Pegasus, both of which are free, although the Eudora's free version has a little ad in the corner.
You think it's hopeless to fix this?
Well, the problem is that program just has zero support now. And I don't even know where... Yeah, I think you're better off trying something else.
Have you tried reinstalling Windows? No. That might help. Because it's a Windows system file that isn't working right. But why it's not working is the problem. So reinstalling your version of Windows might help.
I'm sorry?
I have the Microsoft Knowledge Base article. It's supposed to tell me how to fix it.
No one will easily.
Part of the problem could be that you're attempting to download an email message that your program cannot understand. Since that program was written and abandoned, there have been numerous changes in the way email is sent around the internet, the size of attachments, including programs and HTML and everything else. So it is very possible that there is an email message that is clogging your mail because it can't be downloaded because the program just doesn't understand how to deal with it. It may very well be that if you load a different program, all your mail will immediately come down.
Maybe I could get my supplier that
message for me? It is certainly possible.
You can use a website called Mail2Web. In fact, this goes for anyone. Anywhere in the world, on any web-enabled computer, you can pick up your mail from back home. M-A-I-L, number 2-W-E-B. It lets you log into your mail account and see any mail that's waiting on your mail server. So you can use it as a diagnostic problem to delete messages that might be clogging your mail. If someone sends you a 10 meg picture file, you're not going to be able to download it very easily. So you can go to this Mail2Web website and log into your email, and it just shows you a list of the messages. It doesn't try to download any of them. So from that list, you can say delete, 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 or read, reply, do anything you would normally do with email.
One of the other things, a hold of a machine is this?
I've got it in 98.
Pentium 2? Pentium? Is it Pentium? Pentium 2? Because anybody out there right now, just in words and wise, if you are running Windows 95 or the original version of Windows 98, while you still can, CompUSA still does have a few copies of Windows 98 SE available. I would highly recommend you upgrade to at least that, get the machine up to 64 meg. Where's the show lady just walked in?
Speaking of games on
Mick.com,
good, your daughter's here. She can watch my son.
Why, did you do tricks?
Yeah.
But you might want to consider upgrading to 98 if that machine will handle it, because like I say, as of December, and I don't want to break this to you, but 95 went away a few years ago. Now they're getting ready to do away with 98.
The other thing that might be a problem, how much space do you have remaining on your hard drive?
Hard disk is 1,330 megabytes free.
One thousand.
1,000 meg. 1 gig
free? How big is the hard drive?
I don't know.
Okay.
Probably 2 gigs.
But if you do the upgrade, that will upgrade you to Microsoft Outlook, both our Internet Explorer and Outlook Express, that you could then set up to get your email. But one word of caution, though, if you're going to use that product, you also want to get an antivirus program on it.
Yeah. We also had a suggestion from one of our vendors peeking around the corner. You might
one of our sponsors. Illustrious sponsors.
You might want to try running ScanDisk to see if there's any errors on the hard drive if it's that old a machine. Or you can download an evaluation copy of SpinRite from grc.com, Gibson Research. SpinRite will do a deeper diagnostic of the hard drive and tell you if there's anything more wrong with it. Once you pay for it, it'll fix the problem.
we should say to Jim, it's Green Shield Computer Services, one of our illustrious sponsors as well. And for everybody, SpinRite is pure downright black magic. It will indeed, if you need it to, reformat your hard drive on the fly without losing any data. The most amazing program I have ever seen. The guy who wrote it, Steve Gibson, is my hero. He writes all his stuff in hand-coded assembler. It's tiny, fast, and clean. That one you have to pay. I'm sorry. At some point in your life, you'll have to pay for something. And this is a good thing to pay for. Yes, sorry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
Yep. Next question. Yes, ma'am.
Hello. I purchased a computer at USA. They didn't give me a Microsoft Windows disk. They gave me a system recovery disk. They said they didn't have to.
A recovery CD, if it's a recovery CD,
right.
Yes, that's got your Windows in it.
Right.
The point was she bought a computer from a vendor and that person did not give her a CD with the operating system on it. That's as near as I can tell.
No, it's on it. It's on
well,
the recovery.
Well, wait a minute. That would be illegal, but she got a recovery disk, which actually does have it on it, but in a sneaky sort of way.
Yeah.
And there's two types of recoveries. One is erase the hard drive and restore everything. That's the easy thing. And that's why a lot of vendors use it. But it means you lose everything on your hard drive. So you have to back up all your data, then you got to reinstall all your applications. The other type of recovery disks will just refresh Windows, which is more convenient and less of a hassle.
For you, but not for them.
Right.
See, what a lot of places tend to do is you have a recovery CD. They know the machine worked when the machine was in that state. So if you call them with a problem, they say, oh, run the recovery disk. Well, you've got like 3 years of data and a whole bunch of, but you don't know any better. Yo, run the recovery disk. And now everything works again, but all your stuff is missing. Well, you know what? They solved their problem. Their problem was your machine wasn't working.
Well, their problem is you're on the phone. They got you off the phone.
That's right. They made you got off the phone.
And it's a 900 number.
And it's a 900 number, so you paid for that service. So if all you have is a recovery CD, and it's only the kind that will completely wipe out your machine and restore it to its original state, then all you can do at this point is back all your data up, which of course you've been doing religiously anyway, right?
Well, I did back it up once, but I don't know how to get it back. I mean, I don't know what you do.
How did you back it up?
It says backup.
There's a companion program called Restore.
Backup actually works very well. I shouldn't say that. It's Restore that doesn't work. But backup works really well. Well, once you do the Restore, once you do the run the Restore CD, then you can run the Restore program, which should restore your data.
But you purchased the system recovery disk in it, nothing happens. It doesn't bring it to
your brain. You're shutting the machine off, you've got the CD, you will boot it up,
uh-huh.
And nothing happens? Oh, yeah. Now you win! They have to fix that, because there's nothing else.
No, sometimes they sit there and also include the disk.
Oh, yeah.
HP, and then we'll give you a boot disk that has to load CD-ROM drivers.
You may have to go in your BIOS and tell it to boot from the CD before it tries to boot from the hard drive.
But I can't get on my computer.
Yes, you can. You can hit the delete key and at least get into the BIOS.
But it depends on the machine. Usually when you're turning the machine on, there'll be a little thing at the bottom that says press F1 to enter setup, or delete, or F10, or...
some key combination to enter setup.
Control escape. It was a weird one on some of the Dells.
Well, to contact didn't setup. Even say that. They just put a flashing light.
There's a blinking cursor in the right corner, you hit F10. Some program has to get you into BIOS. BIOS runs before Windows ever tries to start. It's not even getting to the hard drive yet. If you can't even get into BIOS, the machine has even more wrong with it.
I can get the save mode, but then I don't know.
Well, then it's booting.
Then it's booting. Okay, yeah. you need to get into BIOS and tell it to boot the boot from the CD.
But I don't have
BIOS. But the BIOS.
Well, that's that setup program. Same thing. Just another name for setup.
The blue screen. What it is the blue screen, and it's usually divided in half. And one of the options in there is usually it's the second option down. If you select that, open it up. It'll have there first item that boots, second item boots, third. Usually it's floppy, hard drive, CD-ROM. But you can bump the CD-ROM drive to be the first thing that it checks when it first boots up.
So we call it files because that's one of those secret geek words that make computers seem harder than they are. Okay. We have to do that. It's in our contract. But before we go on, I'd like to explain to this lady over here. I'm not actually flirting with you, ma'am, unless you'd like me to. I'm winking at my daughter behind you. I just don't want you to think that. Unless you'd like to think that. We'll talk later.
You say your wife's on around the corner.
Oh, yeah.
If you wink back, you get your questions answered sooner.
Sooner. That's
Yes, sir. My name is Gene Bailey, and I have a question. I use Outlook for my email, which I like a lot because it has all the other features with it. But I'm getting a lot of spam, and I'm trying to use the filters from Outlook, and they don't do much good. And I've got a list of about 400 or 500 junk email things, and I'm still getting spam like mad.
The best program. I mean, we run into this all the time. The only thing I can tell you is there are some programs out there, McAfee's offering, Semantics is offering, that'll stop, spammers.
Spam killers, spam cop is one.
One of the things, though, is a lot of folks mistakenly do is they'll sit there and go by the email address, the person that's sending you the email. Don't even waste your time.
You can make a filter in your email program if it supports it, so that if you get a message from john@spam.com, you won't see it. The problem is you'll never see another message from john@spam.com.
Right.
A spammer will buy a million addresses, mail them out, and never send an address again. So you can't use the address as a spam filter.
What you want to do...
the same address, but different numbers on the end of it.
Right. The easiest way to get around that, though, is what you look for is common things in the subject matter. You'll see a lot of this junk mail that will sit there and say DVD, mortgage rates, Visa, MasterCard, Viagra, you name it, it's there. What you do is you then base your filter upon words that are in the subject matter. So if you go up to Internet Filters and you set up a filter, say on DVDs, and you can then tell what the rule is to put it right in the trash. I average on a given day 600 emails. Three-quarters of those wind up right in the trash automatically for me, but I guarantee you, my list is from here to that wall and almost halfway back, and I'm still adding to it daily.
Yeah, and now I personally prefer Eudora as an email program. I think it's got the best filters. Of course, I was a beta tester for Eudora. I recommended a lot of those filters. So maybe that has something to do with it. But I like their product as well. So.
Well, I like having the calendar and the contacts. And
yes. So in your case, one of those additional programs, like Spam Killer and Spam Cop.
Spam Cop, I think, yeah.
Like that.
The other thing you can do that I do on my machine, make a rule that if the sender is in your address book, to highlight it and then delete everything else.
Yeah.
Or not delete everything else, move it to another folder. Most of the people you communicate with are in your address book. It's people that aren't in your address book that are usually spam. Then you can scan down the list of subjects yourself and say, oh, this person I do want to see, put them in your address book.
And, by the way, for those of you who get spam, never, ever reply to it.
Never. It says to reply and remove yourself from the list.
Because all that does is prove they've got a live one at the other end of that address.
It removes you from that list and adds you to 1,000 more.
Yeah. I've been keeping track of this over the years. Because I own my own domain, AskNick.com, so I've set up a rule on the domain itself that any email that comes to an address that isn't listed comes to me. So when I sign up for something, I use their name. Netscape at AskNick.com. Eudora at AskNick.com. So if I start getting spam, I know exactly who sent it to me.
Or who sold the list.
Yeah, who sold the list, rather, yes. Exactly.
And a lot of ways the spammers work is they'll send, like the old gang phone dialing, they'll send a message to A at AskNick.com, B at AskNick.com. And you do that you do that a few million times, you've made every possible email address at AskNick.com. So the several ways you get on a junk mail list is someone collects your email address off of a message you post on a website or a newsgroup. Someone buys email lists of things that you've legitimately signed up for. That's why it's important to read that privacy statement. And at the bottom, it usually says, I want to be included in special offers. That's a junk mail list. Or they'll just make random addresses at a domain, at AOL.com, at Roadrunner.com, whatever.
And also, by the way, if you have Yahoo, they changed their policy now. This was quite a while ago. We announced it on Soundbites. They changed the policy and added you to a whole bunch of lists. So you have to go into your profile and un-add yourself. Or perhaps, as they call it, remove yourself from those lists. You're going to be getting all that stuff, and it's completely legitimate because you didn't say no.
The only true way to stop spam is to get off the net. The next best way to stop spam is change your email address. And then for a little while, you'll get no spam until that new address gets on the new lists. And then you'll get it both. If you keep the old email address, you'll see everything on multiple lists.
Yeah, you can sit there and just create another bogus one, get that one out to other folks. Somebody over here, yes, you have a question, sir?
Yes, I'm Ron from Walworth. First question, hardware, AMD Athlon, 1 gigahertz, how hot should you let that thing get before you shut it down?
These are the guys to ask. Behind us, they'll be back in a bit,
what size space is it in?
Not very.
It's a 300 watt insulated.
Mid-tower tape?
120, 130. Yeah.
What I always do on a lot of it is sit there, because usually if you look inside your case, you have an extra space on a lot of the mid-tower cases to throw an extra fan, as most motherboards are supported. There's an extra fan on the back and on the front. What you got to remember is that computer is like a big vacuum cleaner. It's sitting there sucking all the dirt in there. If any of you folks have visited my webpage, you've seen one of the computers that we took pictures of, and it's a live picture, and I've got more of them down my shop, that they look like the American Dust Bowl. You sit there, and I can take a handful, I took out of one computer, literally two handfuls of dirt and dust, because it's sucking it all in. But if you've got a good fan that not only on the power supply is blowing it up, but one below it, so you can sit there and pull it and blow it back out, I'm sure your back wall might look like packed. Because that's what will happen.
But it's better on your back wall than on your processor.
Right.
And that this machine here in the corner,
this
white one with the blue swoop, that's the VapoCool machine. That gets it to like minus something. That'll cool it down that far. So if you're really worried, then maybe that's the sort of thing you need. But anything under 100, and it depends on your motherboard. Your manual will actually tell you what the safe operating temperature is, but it's usually 120, 130.
I put it together, so.
You still got
to... It's not on the IWO manual.
Okay. 120, 130.
If you can get a couple extra case fans, it won't hurt by all means.
And
wherever you get around there, because granted, boards are
more than
less electricity.
And one of the issues is that when you get a lot of dust in your machine, it's starting to coat the chips. The chips run hotter and then wear out faster. So what I usually say is a couple times a year, open the cover and vacuum the dust up.
Or canned air.
Oh, yeah. Or canned air.
There we go.
Second question.
Tyler's hissing at us. I don't know.
Yeah, it's history.
The problem with canned air is that it blows everything up in the air that you breathe in. So I take a vacuum. I'll have a vacuum and a canned air and blow the dust into the vacuum.
Yeah, and keeping the vacuum a little away from the machine is never bad.
Same thing with the canned air, though. If you can tilt those certain angles, sometimes you'll get a cold blast that'll come out, and it's liquid. So, like I tell folks all the time, leave the computer plugged in. Still like one client that I had, turn it off. Because if anybody's listened to the show for over years, I had a client that sat there, he closed his eyes, but he quickly lifted his sound card up and slammed it back in. He said he did it quick. And then the machine wouldn't work.
Apparently he didn't do it faster than light.
Yeah, light speed propagation delay of moving that electron up and down.
So yeah, you should be safe.
At one time I was at Dave's house, office, and he took my machine out back and started up this giant compressor and blew the stuff out of the machine, and I thought, this thing was going,
Mice, squirrels, candy wrappers.
One of my cats was still in there. Get a second question.
Right. Linksys router, they now support the zone alarm and something with PC Cillin internal to it.
Mm-hmm.
That, doing that versus keeping it separate.
It's not a bad thing at all.
98-second edition.
So you don't have the overhead on your computer.
Yep, not a bad thing
right,
at all.
But now you got to buy zone alarm pro.
$30, $50, whatever it is, get over it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, but you know the reality is,
if the performance is that, you know,
exactly,
it's worth it,
you gain in performance, you gain in security, you gain in safety,
and
it costs you $50. Get over it.
And anything you can have another piece of hardware do. Remember, it's now taking less resources from Windows to do that
fast. Is Tony here? Set up a Linux box in the corner. Take a 486, put Linux on it. It's your router. It's your firewall. It does everything for you.
Tony has a way to Delaware.
A second box to do everything.
You had a question, young man. Your name?
Joey.
From?
Gates.
Okay, Joey from Gates.
On the internet, I have this website that, like, Yahoo, and that they have one in the Battleship on it. Every once in a while when I play, somebody will shut down and it says that my sound card, my video card is something.
The question is, he gets on Yahooligans, which is another great kid site, and now my daughter's writing that down, Yahooligans.
Yahoo?
I used to Yahoo, but never mind. Anyway, And he says that the problem is that after he plays the game for a while, now his sound card has a problem.
The video card
has a problem. There are a couple of reasons that might be happening. Is the video card usually at a high resolution, lots of colors?
Yes.
Some games don't like that. They want a lower resolution. Now, frankly, that's bad programming. Okay, but it still exists. So what you might try to do is lower the resolution before it goes to those sites.
Or lower the number of colors first.
You should try lowering the resolution, or the number of colors. Start with the number of colors. Go to 256 and see if that solves the problem. And if it doesn't, then...
You might have to update your driver.
What version of Windows are you running?
XP.
You might really need to update the driver. You might even want to do that first.
How much memory is in it?
256 meg.
Yeah. If you're running the original drivers for your video card that came with XP, it's time to update.
Yeah.
In fact, when you bought it was time to update, but you didn't know.
But right now, there is. If you get a brand new box that's been preloaded with XP, you can go up onto the website, and there are, I believe, 43 patches. Because I had a client just pick up a new.
Well, that was this morning. You don't know what it is
now. No, I just did it. Just today.
I had a client bring over
a brand new box. HP just freshly installed. I went up to Microsoft's website. There's 43 patches for it.
I had a customer the other day that got infected with a virus, and she said, "Well, I've got McAfee. It came with the computer." So we looked at it. It expired in November of '97. She bought her computer in March of '98. The program expired.
That's one thing. You hear us, folks. If you folks listen to us on a regular basis,
and if not, why not?
Or I'm assuming they all do, right? What? That's how they heard about it.
Well, how many of you have never actually heard the show? Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. Oh, thank you so much. Well, you can drag me by.
Anyways, you folks hear us harp time after time, and it probably sounds like we're sounding like a broken record, that, you know, we're constantly on people's cases about updating their antivirus program. The main thing that, like, a lot of folks tell me all the time, and I'm sure Steve sees it too, they sit there and say, well, it does it automatically.
Or they don't know to update it.
Right. But they check, and all of a sudden, I can go to maybe 5 out of 12 people sit there and don't realize that they've got to actually, once in a while, click on the, whether it's McAfee, Norton, or any of them, open the program up. It will tell you how old the virus data files are. If it's over 7 days, your automatic updating isn't working. Norton holds a little slide one that will sit there and remind you maybe once or twice that you need to update. Renew your subscription. Then it goes away. And then folks just sit there, because they sit there, yeah, remind me tomorrow, and never get back to it, because it forgets the stuff. You think it's still doing the update, but your subscription is long gone. You cannot be on the internet and not have an antivirus program. Well, yeah, you can.
Yeah, you can.
But just remember, it's NRPC Management, 3385, Virgin Internet Online Road. Because right now, we're up to.
Yeah, what's your record for the most number of viruses on a single machine?
3,872. Since August of last year, we are now up to 152,000 viruses that I have, thank you very much, folks, cleaned off of many machines.
Again and again.
Because here's the other thing, though, is virus writers are getting very tricky. They used to release them anytime. They now know McAfee, Norton, and everybody else releases their updates on Wednesdays. So, gee, guess when they're releasing their viruses?
Thursday.
No, Wednesday night. They're ready to go. First thing Thursday morning when, you know, folks are ready to get their updates and they think they're safe, they've got another virus to contend with.
And an interesting story, I don't know if these guys were here when I did this, I set up a machine on the internet at work. The very first entry in the log was someone trying to break in. The thing hadn't even finished booting yet, and it was being hit. Now, no, nobody got in, because that's my job. But, well, I was putting up a Linux box, and they were hitting it with a Windows virus thing. But the point is, it, you know, it's not like I'm only on the internet for 20 minutes a day, or I'm only on dial-up, or I'm only. If you're on the internet, you're vulnerable. It's that easy. If you never log on to the internet, and you never download programs, and you never buy a program to put in your machine, and nobody ever uses your machine but you, and it's off 9 out of 10 hours of the day, then okay. Maybe,
but
you don't need antivirus.
I've seen computers come with viruses pre-installed for it. I have seen commercial shrink-wrapped programs that you buy
loaded
with viruses because the duplication company that made those CDs was infected. So it's not just the internet. That's
something
one
from Microsoft.
Yeah. PC World, that or PC Magazine. One of the PC magazines that put up CDs every month had a virus on it about 6 months ago. So you buy a subscription to a magazine, you get this cool CD full of cool toys. Well, whoever duplicated that CD had a virus, and now you do too.
So you really, you can't run it on antivirus, and you need to check to see. It's like owning a car. Nowadays, you got to check your oil, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to load it up with gas. Same thing. Make the checks. Not a big deal.
Is that what that light means?
That's what the light means. It's time to update your antivirus.
He's got another question. Yes, sir.
Ron Mattis from Walworth. I have Windows 98 SE on my laptop and on my desktop. On my laptop, if I open up a folder and click on a JPEG image, I'll get a nice little thumbnail of the image on the left-hand side of the folder's pane. If I do that on my desktop, I don't.
There's a command in the view menu. There's a command in the view menu. The question was that on one machine, when he clicks on a picture in a window, he sees a thumbnail of that picture. And on another machine, he doesn't. There's a command in the view menu called view as a web page. And that gives you that little preview pane on the left-hand side. A lot of people turn that off because it takes up space in the window that you might not have on your monitor. But it's especially nice when you're dealing with pictures. And in fact, there's a new feature in Windows XP that has an automatic thumbnail window mode. So you can have open a folder full of pictures, and it gives you giant thumbnails. You don't even have to click on the picture file.
I have that space in the folder on my desktop, but the image doesn't show up. I think I tried clicking on it through the web page, and it didn't help me.
It's file association might be messed up.
That might be the file association table.
If you go into...
If you double-click the JPEG, does it open up in view?
Yeah. It opens up in that program.
Which one?
Photoshop Elements.
That's the prop.
When you install a graphics program, it takes over control over all your graphics.
Well, I had that on my laptop also. It's okay.
You might want to reassociate JPEGs with Internet Explorer and see if that shows it. And make sure that view as a web page is turned on.
They're both 98 second edition?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can change the association in Windows Explorer. You go over to folder options, and you'll see JPEGs listed there. You can delete it. Next time you go to click on a JPEG, it'll ask you, what do you want to use when it opening this type of file? And you can sit there and tell it Internet Explorer.
Same version of Internet Explorer on both machines?
I don't know about that.
Because I do know that earlier versions of Internet Explorer did not give you that ability.
4 didn't.
4 didn't. 5 didn't.
I have 6 on my desktop.
That may be it. Try that anyway.
You and then Joan behind you. Go ahead, sir. Yeah, you and then Joan.
My name is Kevin. I'm from Dave. And I have an IBM Netflix for Windows XP. And every time I go down to the desktop, I get a prompt that says, snapshot schedule has encountered a problem.
Snapshot schedule?
Yeah.
Did you say this is an IBM?
Yeah.
IBM loads an incredible number of additional programs on the machine. You may have noticed that. Like half the hard drive is full of their stuff. What I might say. Yes, is that is one of their programs. They have a program that takes a snapshot of your hard drive every once in a while in order to facilitate restoring it to some known point.
That's not the XP system restore, is it?
Is it an XP machine?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear that part. It could be the XP snapshot program having a problem.
Both ME and XP. It's one of the good features of ME. And XP have a system restore function where you can go in and take a snapshot of your system. Then if there is a problem, you can restore to that point and presumably go back and fix whatever the problem was. I don't know XP well enough offhand, but there may be...
Does anybody know what ME stands for?
No.
Many errors.
There may be a way to schedule that snapshot to happen automatically. So something is wrong in the system that it can't happen.
You might want to do a defrag in the system. Did you ever suggest that while I was timing in there?
No.
You might want to do a defrag of the system, a thorough scan first of the hard drive itself, and then a defrag. It is possible that your system is so fragmented that there isn't space for the snapshot to live. The snapshot wants one contiguous space. You did a defrag? Didn't help? Okay.
You might want to.
Might want to do a defrag.
You can try running SFC, the system file checker, and it will check through that from Windows 98 up at the system file checker. We'll check through your system files, see if any of them are corrupted, and restore them from the system disk with the CAD files.
How much free space do you have in the drive?
I don't know.
If you've got less than, you know, however much it needs, whatever that ends up being, that could be the problem. If you've only got a few hundred meg,
Do some house cleaning.
Get rid of the temp file, stuff like that, see if it works.
I ran into a machine today, a little error message popped off, your hard drive is full. I looked at it, there's 9K left.
Oh, God. Whoa.
it's a Mac user for you.
So it wasn't really full, is what you're saying.
Yes, it's not full, but that message is live.
Go ahead.
I'm
John Brighton.
You sort of can, but you can't do it in the control panel. You have to muck in your Windows directory and find the .cpl file. The control panel is actually a program. It's not a folder. And right. It scans your Windows directory looking for other control panel programs. Something .cpl.
With the extension cpl.
But deleting them may not be the best idea you'll ever have.
You really want to uninstall, you want to uninstall the program that put it in there. But what specifically are you trying to remove?
You should be able to go into add remove programs and get rid of one of those Java.
It probably came from an update and didn't replace the Java icon.
Right. Often an update will put an older version of a program onto your hard drive, and older programs are often smart enough not to remove the newer program, so you end up with two of them.
It doesn't hurt anything.
It doesn't hurt anything, but you should be able to go in and actually to add remove programs and delete one of the Java.
In fact, you might see Java twice. The best thing would be to delete them both and then download the most current version of Java and install it.
1.4.something.
Yes, sir.
Pertaining to the previous question on XP, the system file checker, as far as I know, is only available from the run command.
Correct. Right.
It's not available in the system.
Right. Right. You click start, you click run, you type SFC, and then.
Also, the system restore.
No, you got to do more than
the last point in XP works fantastic. I would strongly suggest.
So when your system is working fine, make a restore point. Because it will break eventually, and you want to go back to that restore point. You got to hope.
With that SFC, for you folks don't know, there are now they've changed it. When you do SFC in XP, like you said, you got to go into a command prompt, and there are a variety of commands that you can give it. With any DOS command, that's what it is, or program, you can sit there and type the program name, in this case SFC, /?.
What space.
Space /?. That will tell you the various commands that you can give it to function. In other words, I think there's SFC. There's three different commands.
/?. Will give you a list of.
And it will tell you the three. Because you just can't do SFC. You got to do SFC /? And a command. Unlike because you're
probably
now going out into the DOS environment. So do a SFC /?, and it'll tell you those commands.
But let me caution you. Just because you can do some of these things, maybe you necessarily shouldn't. You know, if something says, like, you know, /all, think twice before you use that command.
Or /star. At least release /star asks if you're sure.
Right. Looking at the list. Looking at the list is good. Using the list may not be good. And if it ever comes up and says, are you sure? Don't be.
Make real sure you're real sure.
I'm Dan from Webster. I have, speaking of computers that break, I have a hard drive that died on the old Maxlore. I was able to load up some shareware and take a look at the directory, but it wanted a couple $100 in order to register and become legitimate so I could recover data. Is there any software out there that is reasonably priced so I can suck the data?
Is this on a PC or a Mac?
PC.
SpinRite.
SpinRite's one.
$30, $40, I think.
There's another one called NT Technologies. And I believe it's like $70. But if the drive will spin, it'll get you the directories and literally even if you erase it, you'll sit there and you can recover deleted directories. Yeah.
We gotta get to the slide.
Oh. Yes, you should.
I'm Tom from Mendon. The question I have is that we had a computer that died,
and we went out and bought a new one, and it's got XP. The old computer had 98 on it, and it had some programs that are not compatible with XP. And there are not going to be any upgrades. One, for instance, was Hogwarts Purpose. I loved it. I could get all my incoming phone calls, and then I could take that stuff, and I could coordinate it with other files and everything else, and you know, I could really track things nicely. I haven't been able to find another program even close to that.
One thing that XP does have is the function that once you put the program on there,
yeah,
you create your icon. What you do is go into compatibility mode and fool it and say it's 98.
The question is, run around in a circle.
The question was that he bought a new machine with XP, and he's got a lot of old 98 programs that he likes that won't run in XP. XP has a compatibility mode where it tries to fool the program into thinking it'll work.
But it's not 100%. You're right, there are a lot of programs.
The best thing to do would be to get a second hard drive, install 98
well,
on
this,
it,
this is where
and
I'm,
have multiple machines running.
This is where I'm coming up.
Or
so what I did is I took my old hard drive out.
Put
it in the new machine because it has the capabilities of having two hard drives. The one thing I did that was reasonably smart was the first thing I did is I checked it for viruses. And I found two of them. Quarantined them immediately. So I got really like a two-part question. Since I can't find anything like Talbot's after, I've looked at everything. I've gone out and bought additional modems that come with their stuff. And it's garbage compared to Talkworks. I hope to be able to do is run the second hard drive, and I can clean up the virus problems. That's not a big deal. But I'm wondering if there's any way I can see any of those calls or faxes that come in on Talkworks on the one hard drive and be able to transfer them over to the other. And then let me give this a little bit. I also have a son who likes to get on the internet occasionally. And a couple of times I think he's forgotten to use McAfee and Zonalar. I think that's how these...
Well, you should. They should be running in the background all the time.
I understand that. But sometimes it hasn't. So one thing I was thinking of is having him run the internet on the other hard drive. But if it did get infected, can it get into the rest of the computer? And the same thing with the Talkworks. Can I transfer anything over?
Okay, two things. First, I'll answer them easy to out of order. First, there's the problem of running the internet on one drive and it's seeing the other drive. If you have the XP drive running in NTFS, and the 98 drive running as a FAT volume, then when you boot 98, it will not be able to read the data on the XP volume.
Sure.
Saved in that direction.
The XP volume, if the XP volume is FAT32, then
it will be
able to see it.
Then, when you boot XP, it will be able to read the 98 volume, and you will certainly be able to move over the data. As to whether those data will be readable by anything on the Windows side, I have no clue.
How are you getting it into the Roadrunner DSL?
No.
Dial-up?
I'll imagine about the only thing we could do is Roadrunner. But
I was going to suggest what you might want to do to separate these two right now, or try moving the programs around if they've got a network card in and you get a whole network set up now. Two network cards in a hub for around $75. Set it up to share the files, move the files back and forth. One thing that I highly recommend, and I don't know why Norton does this, they sit there and offer quarantine. Why the heck do you want to quarantine it? If anything comes in...
Well, that's great for them because they quarantine it, then they can check it, look at it, play with it. But for us, who cares?
I highly recommend to any of you folks that are running McAfee Norton, always set it to delete. If somebody's sending you something that's infected, you don't want it on your machine. So delete it. Don't quarantine it because it just sits there. And some of these viruses are literally getting smart enough that they can break out of quarantine.
How do you tell it to do that? How do you tell it to just delete?
There's settings. In McAfee, it's, you can sit there and tell it to delete automatically.
There's a drop-down list somewhere in the...
And same within Norton. You can sit there and tell it to quarantine, or you can tell it to delete it. I tell it to delete it.
Clean and delete, or there's... It depends on which version you have as to how it puts it, but there's clean, which means get rid of it entirely. Quarantine, which means to put it somewhere so you can play with it later. Not a good idea. Or ignore it, worse.
It automatically quarantines. Like, I come up and it says
report. Because that's
right, the default. That's the default, but you can change that to clean as opposed to...
Somewhere in settings or preferences or setup or options,
there's somebody
you can change
over there
the order.
Yes, ma'am.
Just for my talk.
Thank you.
I'm Vicki from Henrietta. I crashed my computer 2 years ago, and I can barely restart it. It's a 300 SC. I'm running Windows SC. Connected to the internet through Roadrunner, and all of a sudden, just blue screen, and it was gone.
What happens when you restart it? Because you're stuck at the verified DMI prompt.
Yep.
This, it didn't crash by any chance like during the lightning storm a couple minutes ago?
No, and it's when I wrapped the circuit and it's besides that it's got other protection now, we always turn it off.
I've seen a few cases where it stops at that verifying DMI pool data, that if you resys the drive, it'll come back again. When you get to that A prompt, type sys, S-Y-S, space, C colon.
And sys, though, the sys command has to be on the floppy drive.
Right, which it should be on that Windows startup disk. That didn't work?
Another one transfers
the system files onto the hard drive to let it boot.
The other thing that you might want to try doing is that the A prompt is type F-disk, space, /MBR. It's Michael Baker Romeo.
Master Boom Record.
That could be messed up.
The other thing you might try.
Wait, I can't write that. I've got
F-disk. Space, /.
Okay.
MBR.
Yeah. Always only one. Then the other thing you might want to try is going into the BIOS and resetting it to the default.
That wouldn't
work. I also tried resetting it to have it removed from the original Windows disk to go to the scanner or the boot driver so that I could reload from there and that.
The only other thing you can say is try, if you can get to an A prompt, and then get over to the C drive.
Yeah.
Alright, are all the cat files in the options folder? What you want to do is get into, if you get over to the C drive, you do CD, /Windows, /options, /cat. Hit enter. It will put you down in that folder. Type setup. What it will do is set up Windows 98 on top of Windows 98. Will not destroy any programs or anything else.
If it asks you to load Windows into a separate directory, it usually says Windows.000, say no and put it back into C:\Windows.
All right, we got time for one more question. And it'll be you, young man.
Yeah, a couple questions.
Well, make it quick.
I'm Jeff. And the first question is,
yes.
What was the question?
The question is, can you reformat a computer without deleting the OS?
Yeah.
It depends on which OS you have, but that's what SpinWrite does. It will reformat the hard drive. As hard drives age, when you format a hard drive, it puts certain marks on the drive that are essentially roadmaps for itself, where data are put.
At the bottom level, a hard drive is a spinning disk with little bits of rust on it.
Yeah.
And those little bits of rust fall off now and then.
Right. And what happens, and of course, they're the hard drive...
And billions of little bits
billions
of rust.
And millions. And of course, a hard drive runs on magnetism, and over time, magnetism weakens. So what happens is sometimes the roadmap starts to weaken. And you can't find things. You know are there, but it's having trouble reading the roadmap. A program like SpinWrite from Gibson Research, grc.com,
off of our website,
and you can find it on our website, the link, will reformat on the fly. Either you can completely reformat, blocking out bad sectors and everything else without losing your data. That's the black magic part I talked about earlier. Or you can just tell it to strengthen the format that's there.
Don't forget the higher level stuff, like partition magic, that kind of version.
Yeah, that'll do it too.
Right.
You had another quick question?
Yeah, I just want to, a friend of mine partition started that. One was still 98, the other was Linux. And after a few weeks, tried to move Linux and the kernel was deleted.
The kernel was deleted?
Yeah. Or is it corrupt?
The question was, he had a friend of his had a dual boot system with both partition the drive and both Windows and Linux on it, and after a few weeks the Linux partition was corrupted. The problem is that the order in which you put things on and who you let own the drive, whether it's the Windows side which lets Linux boot or the Linux side which lets Windows boot, is important, and if you do it the wrong way, that's exactly what will happen. So it's likely that that's where the problem lies.
What is the right way?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
The right way, you didn't do it.
I got a second computer, so I run them both at the same time, and it's a lot easier. So I don't remember off the top of my head. But there are websites all over the net that talk about the correct way to partition a drive to run both. And in fact, if you have only one machine, you're still better off doing what we were talking about earlier with somebody else, putting two drives in, and then going into the BIOS and saying, oh, boot from this drive now, and then you're in Windows.
Hard drives are unbelievably cheap.
Right. And it's certainly, you know, and you get the extra space and everything is happy and blah, blah, blah. But that's... What?
We're done.
We're done?
We're done.
We're done. We'd like to thank each and every one of you for coming out.
We got a giveaway. You folks, if you took the time to fill out slips, we got some great stuff to give away.
Am I in there?
Lots
like
of
every
prizes.
Other one is mine?
I think they're all you.
Okay, excellent.
All right, Nick.
All right.
Drum roll. Anybody have a drum?
Nothing up your sleeve? Nothing on my sleeve. Don't touch me. I'm sterile.
The hand never left the wrist.
Thanks.
Our first prize, we have four tickets to this coming Saturday, Syracuse University. Panthers football game. We have to mention that.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice.
Just a quick one, though, folks. If you look for us on the dial this Saturday at noon, we're not going to be there. We're going to be on at 3.
After the Panthers game.
After the Panthers game. So we'll be on from 3 to 5.
Hey, what are my bids to read your name for this? S. Jansen.
Okay, come on out.
Congratulations.
Next reader.
Next. We have two tickets to an evening with David Sedaris, humorist, author.
Bruce Rubin.
Oh, no.
All the way from beautiful downtown Henrietta, New York, ladies and gentlemen.
November.
We have two more tickets to David Sedaris.
Oh, I got a tough one. Gary D'Anzanuia?
He jumped up first.
I had to give it to the Italian to be the same name.
D'Anzio, for heaven's sake. He's a cracker.
Oh, Mars guy.
There he is. Ladies and gentlemen, you mind?
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mars guy. For those of you who are on the forums, and if you're not, why not, on the Soundbites website, you've noticed that our faces change every once in a while. Today it's the Marx Brothers.
We've been the Andrew Sisters. Three Stooges.
That's his fault. It's entirely his fault. The problem is he's weak. I mentioned the Andrew Sisters in one post. That night I had the image.
Yeah. They were scary, too.
As long as I got to be Patty, I don't care. Okay. What are we giving away?
Four tickets to the Genesee Country Village and Museum.
Ooh. Tom Robinson, come on down. Oh, nice, Dave.
Just mix them up.
It's the 2000 election. Yeah. A virus. It's not a computer.
A virus. Analog. I know it.
What? Get out of my woodwork. You guys have a box that's not even like, there's no... Give your
favorite screwdriver.
There's not even any glue in there.
Well, we have two Regal Cinema passes.
You got it?
Got it. Come on. Cool.
Uh-oh.
Two passes. They go together.
Kevin Ward?
Yeah. Got some stuck.
No. Kevin Ward?
Did he leave? Okay.
Hold on, I'm just collecting
we're
all
doing
the
ones. Gotta be present? Stop.
Gotta be present to win.
Gotta be present.
You gotta be present to win.
Tom Boccacini?
Bashar?
Hey! I'm Irish! What do you want? He doesn't care. As long as he wins, he doesn't care what you call him. Just not late for dinner.
Four more tickets to the Genesee Country Museum.
Gary Reig?
All right. It's like he didn't believe it would be him.
I won. Oh, my God, I won.
And he takes the show.
Yeah, who said that? Everybody's in the back.
As you don't have to, because...
Two more Regal Cinema passes.
For you folks that do miss the show, we do have an archive. Again, you have to scroll down, and on the left-hand side, we do have the archive of all the shows since we started on WHAM December 1st.
Say hi to everybody.
Our friend Argyle helped us put that together, paper and plastic.
My son Matthew. That you've all
William F. Shade. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were introducing your son. William F. Shade. I'm sorry, too late. He was introducing his son instead. Can't read this.
Okay. What do we got next?
Four more tickets to the Genesee Country Museum.
Leah Demasian? I'm a butcher on names. I get mine right and then I'm lost.
Okay, more tickets to the Genesee Country Museum.
Steve Murphy.
Oh, I picked the easy name.
You get the easy one.
Steve Murphy.
All right. Get those tickets.
Actually, I'm Daniel Murphy.
Daniel, congratulations.
Pleased to meet you.
Say your name. Steve.
Steve is his name.
Yeah, you can take him to the corn maze.
We got four more tickets to the Genesee Country Museum.
Mitch, Legion, Logan, Logan from Rochester.
Oh, all right. I don't know. You
read it. How do you pronounce your last name?
Liga.
It's Egon with an L.
We only answer computer questions.
Okay, we save the best for last. Soundbites t-shirt.
Uh-oh.
All right.
You wouldn't want that.
Nick French. Oh, no, wait. Sorry. Doug DeCross. Come on down, Doug. We'll sign it for you later.
Nice.
Cost you a dollar a signature. Is that it?
That's it.
The party's over. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you all very much. Stop. Please join us on the Soundbite website.
Let me check these vendors out, though. They're going to be around. We'll probably be around for a little bit yet, too.
These are great. This is all great stuff. Check it out. Join us on the Soundbite website. Buy stuff at the Soundbite store. And we will see you 3 o'clock this Saturday. We'll hear you. 3 o'clock. You'll hear us. Take a sentence out of that. I'm WHAM. Thank you all very much. Okay. Good for you.
I also
Go into the setup and delete history in the Opera Center. You got tools.
I mean, it's great. It's a happy problem. Yeah. Next time.
I think, yeah, we've got to go a little.
Look through there, you'll find the vendors.
I'm very full.
Absolutely. Do you want me to just sign it, or do you want me to sign it?
Just look at this. Just trying to get a hold of Marissa.
And the girl is signing on your
button.
So a lot of these members of the team are trying to which I received.
Oh, yeah?
With it. It's not going to allow us to put the copy of the content unless it's all safe to get in there.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, you're right. It's safe to get in there.
It's almost ready.
It'll come out of there, but you gotta put it in there first, and then it'll be growing, getting a little interest. It'll be a happier person.
No,
we get one of those seated 60-inch plasma displays.
There we go. That's what I like to hear. Oh, thank you so much. I play it all the time.
I was looking for food.
It is coming on a weekly basis, but you have to sign up again. So you should have gotten it this last Sunday. Really? Okay, I'll check it. Come on. Give me a favor, both of you email me that so I have your addresses to look up. To make sure things are right. Email me at askme.com and I'll talk to you about this. Okay, I'll look. I can do that. I think Frankenstein. Oh, that'd be good. Frankenstein, Wolfman, and. That's exactly right. He's got a couple of Wolfman and the Mummy. There we go. I think he came the farthest. Close to 100 million kilometers just this year.
This is not real body.
I see that. I understand that. It's an ethereal thing going on.
Right? Windows on me.
Yeah.
I stand for malicious execution. I've been having a horrible time this week, so we put in the road runner. I think I'm going to try Dora to get around it.
I have been using the bullet at a level. I have been using 3 minutes.
I keep losing my email settings. So I get 5 accounts with Roadrunner. My old Netscape one, Drupal 104, I can recover right away with all the messages in and out. On Roadrunner stuff, it gets lost.
Try something else.
That's what I'm thinking.
Thanks. The red or the gold or the blue case there?
I spent my time now.
Go ahead, lift them up.
My wife and I doing our thing.
Okay. I'll get you one.
They carry it out to my truck, please.
Isn't that amazing how light they are? What? Okay.
Cross spoke.
I'm big enough. This one here is actually the one on the other end.
Did you see the other one in the website? It's totally clear?
Yeah.
All clear.
It's like California. The price on the green boxes that I got on order were from Taiwan.
Same
price as black.
I just made it.
Wow. Yeah. Nice.
Right. It's Windows 98. You don't want to touch XP. What are you going to do?
The one thing I like about this new case that I've worked on is it comes with side case fan.
That has the Windows ease of use for people who are
under the
remainder
of the side.
Well, it depends on what you mean by ease of use.
It only has some portions you have to replug it in. It's a big deal. But it comes with two fans
and
automatically.
I took the Linux challenge.
No extra charge.
Use it for a month.
There's one on the power supply and there's one on the side of the case.
The only problem you really have,
I like it.
The same
it's
thing
creating
you have when you like you went to
it's quieter than adding a face cam.
It's not that you don't know how to drive, but you have to relearn a few things. You feel stupid the first week because enough is in the right place. You don't know where to
put
it. Once you learn it, you're done. It's just the same. For example, I'm running OpenOffice, which is a work process, presentation program that works with my PowerPoint. I'm running Evolution, which is Outlook, by the way, and for whatever it is, $30, $40, $60, whatever it is, I'm connected to an Exchange server. Hello. And the only thing when I took the challenge that I couldn't run was DreamMail. There are some things I just didn't know about.
I don't know what that is.
Well, it's a web, it's a WYSIWYG web developer. I don't even use that anymore now. I do everything in PHP, so I write my own code anyway, so I don't even text that. But that was the only program I could not run. Using Linux. And I have, for an entire month, I'm training
seven letters of your last name.
Spreadsheets, data, not data.
You wouldn't believe what I had to go through with
word processing documents and presentations, slideshows with other people that had no idea I wasn't on Windows. None.
I'm actually able to run, I'm running an old port copy in Office
Max. No Windows program will run. Well, no. The program called Wine, which stands for Wine is not an emulator, and it is a Windows emulator. So you can run Windows programs under Wine, but then it slows it down. You're running a layer.
That's one of the advantages of senior Linux.
Right. And in fact, it depends on what Windows manager you run. For example, mostly I run one called GNOME, or KDE, which are Windows clones. You know, you get the button and the pop-up menu, gets everything. There's another one called Windows Maker, which is incredibly fast. You still do everything, but you have to use different key combinations and mouse to get things to happen. But again, once you learn, it's ridiculously fast. So you can run the somewhat bloated GNOME or KDE interface to the ludicrously lean Window Maker interface. It just depends on what you want to get used to. But if you move to, for example, the new Red Hat 8.0, just came out yesterday. There's a desktop mode. When you go to install, you click desktop mode, and you're there. You have Office, and you have OpenOffice, and you have Evolution, and it's all ready to go for you now.
You've got the graphical user interface for all you need to use.
It's all there. Yes, you can do that. I would suggest what you do is what we're talking about, buy a second hard drive.
Look,
5.7 gigs, more than you need. Drop it in, make that the boot disk, put the CD in, let it install. And your safest thing, of course, is to actually unplug the Windows drive, just in case. Seriously. And then install Linux, play around with it. You can go back and forth just by rebooting. And play. Well, you still have to do whatever the, you know, F2 and click on it. Sorry, but yeah.
about it at all these people.
We'd be very happy. I've got a guy in the office I work in, and every time the email comes out, virus warning, blah, 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 probably going to be drought, blah, blah, blah. He walks out and he goes, follow the penguin.
I'm going to add Eudora to my machine this week to try and solve some of the email problems. Netscape's working fine with Netscape Webmail. That brings everything back instantly. But it's like, why is it taking it down and I have to re-enter all the stuff? And I wrote a nice long email for Netscape because I'm not going to call that 800 phone line. That's a lot of junk.
$29. The legislation is the problem.
You know, he's not got the gold age rule.
Yeah, I definitely
get it. Is that the one you want to take home, Dave?
Yeah. Is this the memory one?
Just get the windows.
used to have the mainframe in the basement.
Oh, you're not going back by the store.
And then we got now we're going back to the server.
In the butt.
Enjoy, if you can.
Yep. Hey, I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't missing something along the way here. Yep. I see it.
Okay. Are you going to be mostly basic editing, or are you going
to be
fast?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, hi.
Are you mostly editing?
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I'm
just
They love you. Yes, I did. It was great. It was great. Yes, I'll be at the beginning. It was terrific.
See, it really was.
So they didn't get his number in.
Yep.
Don't stay up.
Yep.
Yeah, we're
really it's fine too late.
What year?
Oh, that's not
right. Give me a decade.
TDR.
I like that other.
Have fun. Thanks. Very nice talking to you.
Whoa. The other thing is, we have to run.
The office is all torn up and we're renovating. We finally
did. No, you got a really
good one. Oh, good. So I've got it. About time to do it.
Green, reflective, mirrored windows and doors.
I'm trying to get this.
Very nice.
Right.
I got 512
DDR.
I'm running.
See, this is the worst part. You know what I mean?
Virtual
and I'm
eating up maybe
these are
nice.
Are
you
heard
me at the same time? Slim power? Is that
USB?
5-inch blowing out a lot of RAM.
Those are really nice.
Mission. Blast up. Atomic batteries and power. Turbines.
Are we
oh, yeah, we got these. Yeah.
No, but I want to know what you
do. Nothing.
What?
Oh, yeah.
This is a fan
golden roller.
All the way high is blue 7 volts.
Up and side,
what we've done is we've
definitely covered
standard.
Now we have little knock head.
So it comes with a drill template. You just put it over your 5x4 base.
This is water cool.
That's all water cool.
It is so cool.
Three different modes on the speed
Well, that's the way to go ahead. It's a lot of fun. I mean, like I don't do water cooling, but I just it's fun. It's involving, you know, like a water cool PC.
Well, it's not. I'm not as interested in the Windows fans, in the cool and the light.
See how well this worked.
Yeah, 70 to water. I'm like, I'm just going to...